And away we go. Just typing in the name of the session. Hold on. Okay. All right. This is for real. We're starting now. Okay. Hashela Hashminis is the eighth question that the Talmidei Rabbeinu Ephraim Mitzor asked the Rambam. Ketzere Pais Nasen B'chol Yom Ben HaKohanim. So to, you know, try to draw and illustrate, you know, an accurate depiction of how the pious was done every single day when they used to do a lottery, as a raffle off the avodas. How did it look like? Ketzer mono samamamuna. How, in what manner were they counted? Votzas etzbosem. This business, what we learned, it's all in the Mishnayos and Yuma, but the Mishnayos don't give too much detail. Even the Gemaras on it are a little bit sketchy, as we're going to see. So what was this say, that they stick out fingers? All right. And now, since it was all a number, what's the difference if you counted people or you counted fingers? And then it talks about, you know, the cheating that could be done with more than one, sticking out more than one finger or sticking out a thumb. You know, and there's like special emphasis of what's terrible about sticking out a thumb. And what was that? And if he sticks out multiple fingers, how many do you count? Do you count it, you know, let's say he stuck out two fingers. Is it, you know, one, two? Or we count both fingers, two fingers of one man, so it's one. Malinu lavin bazeh. All right, so how should we understand it? All right, because, you know, the Mishnayos and on Yuma, or, you know, they say something about that they were counting fingers. They say something about that there was cheating going on, and they say something in particular about cheating with the thumb. You know, in particular, what was going on over there? So, what's very interesting historical significance is what the Rambam says right now. Zeh pious hayakoshim oral kol mi shekodam, right? Anyone that came before me found, you know, trying to picture in his mind what the lottery, you know, what the raffle looked like, very, very hard. Right, everyone was found difficulty with it. And anyone that tried to depict, draw, describe in writing what it must have looked like, I found that it did not match up well with the little bit of statements in the Talmud that we have describing this. In the Pirush Rashi, he said that no gaon before him adequately explained, in full detail what the pious must have looked like. So Rambam saying over here, you know, that the people who attempted, there was always never fit well on the lushan of the, you know, sketchy descriptions that there are in the Gemara. You know, it's in Yuma, Daf Chof Beis, Amud Aleph, Daf Chof Gimel, and Daf Chof Hey are the three places, to the best of my memory, where there are sketchy, descriptions. Yeah, and everyone, no one ever said, that pulls it all together and would fit on it like a glove. But here's what's very interesting. Umatsasi bekuntres abba morizal. So I saw in the notes, you know, in the kuntresim of my father, Rabbeinu Maimon, right. Dvarim bazem Rabbi Yosef Alebi Rabo Zatzal, right. So in the Rambam's father's notes, that was the Rambam's primary access. No, I shouldn't say that. It was his only access to the Torah of the Rimi Gash, the Rimi Gash that the Rambam so so admired as probably the greatest Talmudist of all times, as he writes in his Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnayos, the Hasogas that the Rimi Gash had in Talmud was just something, outstanding. Like, no one came close to the Rimi Gash, and the Rambam never learned by the Rimi Gash. Rimi Gash died when the Rambam was just a child, a very young child. But his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, learned by the Rimi Gash, and Rabbeinu Maimon had these kuntresim that the Rambam's referring to over here, and that's how the Rambam had the Rimi Gash's Torah, through the kuntresim of his father. And he says like this, my father brings down his kuntresim, what the Rimi Gash, Rabbi Yosef Alevi, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Levi, my father's Rebbe, was the Rimi Gar, said, V'oimer achar diun oroch. And he says, after a lengthy discussion, right, discussing, trying to explain what the pious must have looked like, so the Rimi Gash ended off that shir saying as follows, right, V'adayin lon izbar lanu v'koshi lanu tamid. It's still not 100% clear to us. And it was always difficult to us, trying to, depict, envision, visualize, what the pious in the Mikdash look like. Because Talmud is very difficult us, Kishenu learned in Torah to Rabbi Yitzchak Harav Zatzal, right? When we learned Torah before Rabbeinu Yitzchak, who is the Rif. So the Rimi Gar says, we always found it difficult, even when we were Talmidim by the Rif, we used to talk about it, never really were able to pull it together, what it must have looked like and what the issues were based on the few short ma'amorim that there are in the Mishnah and the Talmud. Right, and the only reason why I'm saying this, says the Rambam, he wasn't talking a historical aside, that Derech Agav Shino is always difficult, but to say that really Rabbeinu Ephraim's confusion is totally legit, how he was not sure, what the pious looked like. You should know that he's in good company. You should know that the Rimi Gash and his Rebbe, the Rif, found it difficult also. And all the questions that he had, they had. Okay? But look what the Rambam says now. Bezras Hashemayim nizgal lanu inyano v'nizbaral. But with the help of heaven, it has been revealed to us. It has become clear to us. Ketzer hayazeh maskim im kol mashebo b'tamzein. It was became clear to us what was going on over there, and the way that we chapped what was going on there fits like a glove on. All the statements that we have in the Gemara, that give partial descriptions of it. Now, as we're going to see, it's become very evident that Rambam did not have the same girsa as is printed in the Vilna Shas. Right? But the way the Rambam will describe it will fit on like a glove on the Talmudic statements as he had them before him. It's just very interesting. I don't think the Rambam's claiming Ruach HaKodesh or anything like that. It just says, Min HaShemayim Nizgali. It's understood that he toiled, Begeder Yagata Umatzasa. You toil and then you just find it, just occurs to you. Meaning, but of course it all came through Amelus, undoubtedly. But it just says that he was Zochet to understand. It was through his efforts, it became apparent to him, what the earlier generations before him were not able to see. So he says like this, this is what I'm going to do in this tshuva. I'm going to first describe it. I'm going to describe what happened. All right? I'm going to paint a picture with words as to how the pious was conducted. And then I'm going to show you, after I describe it, how this description fits very well on the Talmudic descriptions. All right, v'tiru kach, here is the description. I'm now describing what happened every day. Hayu kohanim omdim b'tzuras ma'agal. The kohanim stood in a circle. Ish b'tzad ish, and in a circle, man was, each one was, they were shoulder to shoulder with each other. V'amemuna omed umaskimim amispar yadua. So the one who was appointed to conduct the raffle, right, was standing there, and they all agree on a number. a particular number, right? Shekovra so maskilov, they set a number and they agreed this is the number. Meaning, you know, the as you know, there's a reverse raffle, actually, right? The number was drawn first, and then we're going to see who matches up to the number, as the Rambam goes on to explain. So they set a number, and they agree on a number. It may be the number 100, or LF, or 1,000, or Masayim, or 200, or Mashir, to any number. It was arbitrary. They would just pick a number that everyone would agree on. It would be agreed that the number, the winning number is. They would agree on the winning number first. V'achar she'iskimu al mispar yadua. So after they agreed on a known number that everyone is aware of, they know the results before they conduct the experiment. So a reverse of the raffles that we do. Right? It's much the reverse of raffles as we know them. Right? Over here that the number, the winning number is known from the get-go, everyone knows it, and the question is how people could get to that winning number. So after they agree on this number, so now also the guy who was running the raffle, he arbitrarily, it's at his caprice, at his whim, he chooses any which one that he wants, right? Viora lovely Mishabatum, and he says, points to this guy, we start counting from him. Now it also was up to the whim of the one conducting the raffle. So he could decide which person they're starting from, which person in the circle is the starting man. After everyone knows the guy that they're gonna start from. The Fimasha Pakaramimuna, as he was appointed, by the one in charge. Visacha Mitzvah, they also know the number that was agreed upon. Visacha Mitzvah, they know the amount, the number that was agreed upon. Az Yomra Mamuna, then the appointer, the one who was running the raffle, would say, Hatzbiu, point. Vyotzi Kolish Min Asher Kfir Ritzayno, everyone could, stick up a finger as he wants. That's Bachas Oshtayim, either one finger or two fingers. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take either one or two fingers. V'lo yotzi shalosh. Right? But you should not put out three. Kadesh lo yatosa kishi yirtsev yomer lo tzeti shtayim. Because it seems, Ram says, if you put out three, you could easily collapse one. I guess, from afar, everyone knows he put out more than one. That's clear. But you could easily collapse it. I only put out two. Right? Veloyotzi agodel. Right? Veloyotzi agodel bechorat bals. Fish agodel kotzechol apostol kishurtze. Velomar hotzeitzi shtayim. But a pinky, a thumb is always off limits because since it's so short, it's so easy to either extend or collapse. Right? So you could either spread it out. If you said one, easily spread. It's two, or easily hide it. Pinky is easy to extend or hide because it's such a small finger. All right. So the pinky was off limits. You weren't allowed to use the pinky at all. The thumb. I meant to say the thumb. You're not allowed to use at all because of how easy it is to extend or collapse. So that's off limits because that's a cheat finger. That's a finger that's very easy to cheat with. But it was also another thing, not sticking out three fingers aside from the thumb, but three fingers, because it's easy to fake and see if you see the numbers aren't working out. It only work out if you collect. So as such, right, that it's possible. With three to hide the third finger and say two, because I guess the explanation is from a distance, you definitely know he put out more than one. But whether it's two or three, it's easy to fake that. And if it's three to put one back, and I only put out two. Okay. Vekashayotzi, that's both. So again, let's just read about the thumb again. The feature of the Kotzechol Pashul Kishab of Einstein is the thumb, since it's so short, it's easy to spread out and say, I actually put out two when he initially only put out one finger. It's also very easy to collapse and say, oh, I only put out one. So therefore, the thumb is off limits. Now, when they put out the fingers, they start the count from the fingers of the person that was appointed to be the beginning of the count. Right, so now it says the Ram like this. If you always count the second finger, meaning to say this, you know, guy number one, you know, who was appointed to be the starter count, if you only put out one finger, then you start counting from the guy after him. Like, it's like finger number one is zero, right? And one is the guy after him. But if the guy put out two fingers, you count it one, two. So, I mean, zero, one. So if the guy number one, who was pointed to be the starter of the count, put out only one finger, so that one finger is zero. And finger number one is the first finger of the guy next to him, right? But if he put out two fingers, so he's zero, one, so he becomes number one. You know, and then the person's, the finger of the guy next to him is finger number two. All right. So again, let's read this inside again. So if they, everyone now chooses to put out one or two fingers, right? So now if the person, you know, the guy who was appointed to be the, you know, the guy in the line that the count starts from, put out two fingers, so finger number one is his second finger, like finger, excuse me, finger number two is finger number one. Meaning it'll be finger number one is zero, one. All right. That's for Misha Samuchlo. Excuse the background noise. I just consult with the way the Rambam says it in the Yad HaChazaka. In Perek Dalev, Hukotrin Musafim. So over here it just says in the Yad, Umatkhila Manuna Limnos Mina Isha Yadua Jesu Mitznapu Tchila. He starts counting from the guy, you know, who the Mamuna, right, the one appointed to run the raffle, appointed to be the first in the count. So over here he says you start counting from him. So maybe I'm not reading the Tshuva right. Excuse me. Let's just try this again. That's Bamisha Samachlo. I mean, you start from. So Rambam seems to say, he doesn't specify this in the Yad, but if I'm reading this correctly, says the main thing, the guy that you start with is always number one. So even if you put out two fingers, so let's say you put out two fingers, you're going to discount one finger, and the second finger is number one. Right? I mean, the guy that you start from is always one. He's number one. Even if he put out two fingers, he's still number one. Right, so you start counting from him. He's number one, whether he put out one or two fingers. Let's say we saw it, then you go to the finger of the guy who's next to him. Right, so then, let's say they agreed on, just for arbitrary, number 10. Okay? So, and let's say there's five Kohanim. And I'm just throwing out a number. Five Kohanim are in this circle, right? And the number is 10. So the first guy puts out even one or two fingers, he's still number one. He's number one. He's the Tchilas HaMinyan. He counts as one. So you go to the guy next to him. Let's say that guy put out two fingers. So that's going to be 2, 3. The guy next to him puts out two fingers, right? That's going to be 4, 5. The guy after him put out one finger, that's going to be 6. The guy after him put out two fingers, it's going to be 7, 8. The guy after him put out one finger, it's going to be 9. So you get back to the guy that, you started from. You know, so if he has two fingers, it'll be 10 and 11. If they agreed on the number 11. So the guy that you start from is always number one. You know, even if you put out two fingers, that's what he writes in the Tshuva. He does not make that specification in the Yad. All right. But, what he says both here and in the Yad is that you keep on counting fingers, right, until you reach that number that was agreed upon at the beginning of the raffle. Right, and you go as many times around until you get to that number. And the one that the number got completed on his finger, who asher yetze ba pious rishon, he is going to be the one who won the first lottery. He won this lottery and gets whatever they were raffling off. So now explaining the type of trickery that could have been done with either pulling in your thumb or spreading out, extending your thumb. So the guy who's putting out his thumb, he's watching how the numbers are unfolding. He's calculating in his head where the count is going to end. Sure, clouds posh about ben benafsho. He sees all the other fingers that people put out, and he's adding them up in his head. Because he knows the number that was agreed upon. He knows the guy who they started from. So now he can calculate with great accuracy who the count is going to end by. So now he can calculate that if they're going to count this as two, what I just put out, my thumb and my forefinger, they're going to count it as two, right? So ultimately, the guy who's going to win is going to be someone other than me, right? Because if I'm doing two, it's going to, it'll stop by someone else. It'll stop by someone else, right? V'im yechashoshot si etzba achas yigomer ha-minyan etzel. But if you say it's only, if I only put out one figure, it's going to end up by me. Because reason, if they count two, so it's going to end up, by the guy before me. If it's only one, then it'll make it all the way around and end up by me. Right? So if it's only one, the count will wind up on him in its final round. So he's going to pull it in and make it only one. So that way it'll go full circle and wind up by him again. Right, or if it other way around, it says you know, if I put out two fingers, it'll delay it, so that way it'll end by me. But if it's only one, it's going to pass me and reach the guy after me. All right. Right, but only if it's considered as if it was two fingers. You go and see Vachon. I mean, that's all. That's when in the final round the number will fall on me. Ozzy of Shitenos, it's going to stick out the thumb. Kadesha Yimnu Losh Teetzbal, so it should be counted as if two fingers. Right, so the thumb is an easy cheat. It's an easy to extend, easy to retract. And he's calculating his mind. If it works in his favor, that should be only considered one finger. And that way it'll manage to make it all the way around the room and get back to him. So it's going to be only one finger. He's going to pull his thumb in. And if he calculates, no, if it's only one, it's going to wind up by the guy right after me. He's going to stick out the thumb. That should be two. And that way the count will stop by him. And it's so easy to pull off this trick with a thumb because it's a very small finger, easily extended, easily retracted. Right? So, and not only that, so when a person ever extends a thumb, he's disqualified. And I that, as the Gemara says, they hit him. They actually smack him. So, like, not only is he disqualified, but he actually gets a smack, you know, as a physical punishment. Okay? So now, I'll say it now in case I forget. In the tshuva, there was this detail, if I'm reading it correctly, that we don't see in the yad. Right? That the, that when counting, right, the, guy number one, who was appointed to be the beginning of the count, guy number one, even if he put out two fingers, we only count as number one. Right? Not only if he put out one finger, but even if he put out two fingers, we discount. The count starts by him, i.e., he will always be number one. Right? That's what he writes in the Tshuva. He does not say that in the Yad, in Perek Daled Halacha Gimel, where he describes what he's describing here in the Tshuva. And there's another prat over here that he says, right, that he doesn't make, does not make mention over here, right, and that is, over here he mentioned, you know, what the halacha is, you're supposed to put out either one or two fingers, right? It's also to put out three, and the Rambam explained over here in the tshuva, because three you could cheat with also. What happens if he did put out three? What happens if he did put out three? So the Rambam paskins this halacha. He doesn't mention what happens. What do you do if he put out three? What do you do to a guy who put out a thumb? That we do know. Immediate disqualification, he gets hit. What happens if you're only supposed to put out one or two, but you put out three anyway? What happens? Vim hotzi shalosh monin lo shalosh. So Rambam Paskins and Hilchot Tumah Lasanim, he does not bring this halacha here, that in the event that a person did what he's not supposed to do and put out three, and we caught it, we count it as three. So one, two, three. Right? So if he put out three, it's counted as three. Right? He's not disqualified, and he's certainly not hit. Right? And if we caught him that he put out three, so it'll be one, two, three. We're only supposed to, l'chatchila, you know, put out one or two. I meant to say, that's the halacha. Right, but that which you're not allowed to do three, b'di'evit, if three were put out, you count it as three. You know, and that halacha he mentions in the Yad, that is not here in this tshuva. Okay. So now he starts trying to thread it back into the words of the Gemara. And he says like this. All right, so that this idea that, talking about that he, guy in charge of the raffle will designate which guy the count starts from. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Chafei Amid Aleph. Hakohanim Mukafi, Bami Gumin Kuvliar, the Kohanim stand around, and they stand like a Kuvliar. Kuvliar is like a circle, I do believe. Right, circle and ellipse, something like that. Vamun above an ultimate says Rosh Hashanah, ma'am, and the guy in charge of the raffle takes off the mitznefes. Right, you know, the hat that the kohanim used to wear from the head of the one. Viodin shredo hid pious matzal. So the guy who was had he lifted, and one knows that the you know, the count is going to start from him. Visham Namar, and over there it says, but not in the same daf, but earlier on daf chof beis omid beis. Hamemuna ematzbiu tano tzbiu tzeru minyan. Right, the one appointed says, all right, you know, now you guys, stick out your fingers. Right? Right, so then they put out their fingers for counting. Viksha Sham, and the Gemara over there asks, V'amaran says, v'nimnu l'dinu, count people. The Gemara itself asked this question. Count the people while you're counting figures. Right, just so you know you're starting from this guy. So count people. You're one, you're two. We agreed on 100. One, two, three, and the man that the number 100 lands on, he's the guy. Why can't you just count the people? Why do you have to count the fingers? Vaisa tshuva, and the Gemara answered, also limnos yisrael afilu dvar mitzvah, you cannot allow to count people, Jews, even if it's for a mitzvah. Even if it's a mitzvah, you know, to know where, you know, who's going to win the lottery, who's going to win the pious. You know, to do the avoda, even for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to count people. Right, lachen yotzi. I suppose that's the reason why they have to put out their fingers. Kedei. Sheyimnu atzmazon, because then you're counting fingers, you're not counting people. V'sham namar, and the Gemara goes on to say in that same place, daf chof beis. Right, umayim motzi and achzram. They put out either one or two. V'hiksha. So Gemara asked the following kash. Hashta shtayim motzi and achas miboya. Right, if they put out two, right? Right, if they put out two, so kal v'chomer, you're allowed to put out one. Right, ratzon muto odon si shtei etzbos, v'chashlo k'shtayim, tzachfash shemishu motzi etzba achas, t'chashlo k'achas. So Rambam understands that question as follows. You know, I don't need a math lesson. I understand. You put out one finger, that counts as number one. Just like two fingers counts as number two, so one finger counts as number one. Why do I need the math? The Rambam understood that the Gemara is like teaching you basic math. Two fingers counts as two, and one finger counts as one. Well, if two fingers counts as two, I know that one finger counts as one. Right? Vaisachuva. So the teretz of the Gemara is Shahabori Yotzi Achas V'yachzik Shar Etzbosav, right? A healthy person, you know, so he has, I guess, a good, you know, strong fingers, should put out one finger and hold back all his other fingers, meaning if he chose to put out one. But a sick person puts out two, right? Because he doesn't have control over his fingers so well that he could extend one finger without extending the others. But we will count his two fingers as one. I guess when that's apparent that that's what he wanted to do. Right, he only wanted to put out one, but he couldn't control himself. Another finger came out with it. We're going to count it as one. Vayvi Brisa Machazekas Dvarav, and then the Brisa came that, you know, reinforced that way of learning. That the pshat is Yotzi Shtayim, you know, Yotzi Achas or Shtayim, meaning when a person only means to extend one finger, but two came out because he doesn't have adequate control over his fingers, right? That it should be count that two will count as one, when I guess we understand that that was his intent, right? So that shot is backed up by a brisa, right? Vihi, and the brisa reads as follows. This is not the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Achas motziin, shtayim motziin, v'yachidim motziim shtayim. One finger you could extend. Don't put out two fingers. But there are certain people that are allowed to put out two. Yechidim motziim shtayim. Ve'im monim lehem ela achas. But even though they put out two, we're only going to count them as one. All right, so over here, Blau brings right that this gear says not like the Gemara that we had. Right, Ayin Shom, Standaf Chaf Gimel. Right, Viksha Talmud. Alzosa Brisa Shomer Shemotzi Shtayim Mechashol Ka'achas Ve'emon Lo Ela Achas. Right, so now the Gemara asks on this brisa, which seemingly says that there's a people who extend two, and yet it's only counted as one finger. Right, so it's still only going to be counted as one. V'atanya, we learned in the brisa, in motzin lo shalosh v'lo godel, but mitzvah Mayan, we don't extend three, and not a thumb. In the Mikdash, because it's easy to cheat, as the Rambam explained, three is easy, you know, to drop one, and it still doesn't look significantly different from what you initially put out, right? And not a and not thumbs, because of the cheaters. Vim hotzi sholosh, but if you put out three monim lo, right? He's still in the count. Godel ain monim lo, right? But if you stick out a thumb, you don't count him. Below, oh, now that Oshloka mina memuna bepakia, he gets a smack from the memuna with a pakia, some type of lash. Right, v'haisa atirutz, my morim lo achas agodel. So the Gemara answers this, what do you mean you count? You count it as one. It's talking about the thumb. Ratzalama shemama brisa shemotzi shtayim malachas. Let's back up for a second. From the brisa that was just brought, it's indicative that this brisa is the halacha that I read you from the Yad HaChazaka, right? Ido doesn't spell it out over here in the tshuva when he was describing how it was done. He didn't mention this halacha. But over here, he's bringing the brisa that says this halacha that I read you from the Yad HaChazaka. In the event a person put out three, you count three. Right? In the event you put out three, you count three. All right, so seemingly that goes against what we said before. Right? Vayatir, it's my mono achas. Ah, Godel. No, so when we said before, let's get this straight. It was mashma from what we learned earlier, a few lines ago, that really you're only supposed to put out one finger. Cholim can't control their fingers, right? So with extending, let's say, one, out came another with it, right? Fine, if he's a chole, right? We'll forgive him, and we'll still count it as one, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to only put out one finger. That's what the Gemara thought. Then the Gemara brought this brisa that smash, a person puts out three, you'll count all three, right? As opposed to a guy puts out his thumb, he's disqualified, and he gets punished above, just being disqualified. So the Gemara now answers, no, changes the pshat, of course. You could put out one or two. You're not supposed to put out three, but if you put out one, we count it. You put out two, we count two. You put out three fingers, you shouldn't put out three fingers. But if you did, we'll count three. But that which we said earlier, that a chayle who can't control his fingers, if he put out two, we'll still count it as one, was talking about that the second one was the thumb. Meaning he, because he's a chayle, he couldn't keep his thumb, collapsed. His thumb came out, let's say, with pointing with his first finger. He just couldn't keep the thumb collapsed. The thumb came out with it. We disqualify the thumb if he's a chayla. That which we said that, We see from what we just learned, we count how many ever fingers he put out. If he put out three, we'll count three, even though he wasn't allowed to put out three, we'll count it as three. So Kol Shekhen, if he put out two, we count it as two, and if he put out one, we count it as one. So that which we said before, if he put out two, we'll count it as one. When he's a chayla, it's talking about that the second finger that he put out was the thumb, which he's not allowed to use anyway. So since he's a chayla and he puts out the thumb ba'inus, we just disqualify the thumb and count the remaining finger as one. Meaning the chayla accidentally put out his thumb. We will discount the thumb and just count the fingers remaining. You know, that were extended. But so that's by a chayla. By a bori who put out a thumb, he's out of the game and he gets hit. The Quran is bar shekol ma shemaru maskim mamrei Talmud kulam, and explaining it has become clear that everything that we said totally fits on the Gemara as the Rambam had it. Bizbara ofen ramos b'pshitas agor kitzo, and I explained how the thumb is muad leperonius, to be easy to cheat with, right? V'lo nishar bazeh ponim l'sfeikas. And there's no room for doubt anymore. Ram says, I have come up with the picture of how it must have been like. Fits perfectly with whatever statements we have in the Gemara with Hashem's help. Okay, this shiv was pretty straightforward. Thank you very much. Just want to, for those who are still in the room, remind you that next week and the week after, for next 2 weeks, Shivas Ram is going in a break. Next week, I'm speaking at a Chazak event in Queens, New York. I'll try to publicize on the mailing list the details. And the week following is Lag BaOmer, so if there'll be any Ma'amorim, I will alert the crowds. Okay, thank you very much.